RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Spokesman of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry says ASEAN is always united on South China Sea issue. ASEAN-China summit will not discuss South China Sea. Head of the National Counterterrorism Agency or BNPT, Tito Karnavian, says counterterrorism agency is to increase measures. Now, the news in detail. Spokesman of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry Arman Atanasir said the 10 countries of Associations of Southeast Asian Nation or ASEAN had always been united in facing South China Sea issue. He stated that there has been always a joint statement by ASEAN member countries on South China Sea issue. They could not have issued a joint statement if they were not united in our position, such as in the recent ASEAN-US summit meeting in Sunnyland, California in February, ASEAN-Russia summit meeting in Sochi, Russia in May 2016. The South China Sea issue is dispute about sovereignty over groups of small islands in the sea involving a number of ASEAN countries, including the Philippines and Vietnam. ASEAN-China Foreign Ministers meeting with Chinese Minister of Foreign Affairs will be held in Kunming, China this week. Spokesman of Indonesia's Foreign Ministry Arman Atanasir said that the meeting is not aimed at discussing the South China Sea. He said that the meeting in Kunming will only discuss cooperation in organizing the upcoming ASEAN-China summit in September 2016. As ASEAN's biggest partner is China, the issue to be discussed is the strategic relationship between the two parties. Previously, the tension between ASEAN member states and China has been escalating of late. China, Brunei, Malaysia, the Philippines, Vietnam have had overlapping claims over the islands and waters in the region. Indonesia has also been affected by the dispute due to its geographical proximity. Amnesty International has asked Indonesia to allow dozens of Tamils from Sri Lanka who are stranded in the waters of Aceh province to land and meet with the UNHCR officials on Indonesian soil. Amnesty International is concerned that Indonesian authorities might drive the boat into international waters with 44 people on board, including a pregnant woman and 9 children. Aceh fishermen discovered the boat close to the Aceh waters on June 11 and reported it to the Navy, which has not allowed the passengers to reach shore, saying they have no documents. The refugees still remain on the boat along the Lok Nga coast. Indonesian authorities also have not allowed UNHCR staff to interview the boat's occupants to confirm their claims and identities. Head of the National Counterterrorism Agency, or BNPT, Tito Karnavian, said the challenge of terrorism and pro-violence radicalism still occurs in Indonesia. In addition, the development of new networks supporting Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, at the global level, as well as the increase of the use of information technology, make detection efforts more difficult. To that end, in the meeting with Commission 3 of the House of Representatives on Thursday in Jakarta, Tito said the agency will continue to make hard measures in law enforcement against terrorism. Such efforts including to increase intelligence detection as well as the improvement of law enforcement agencies to be able to operate in all fields.
Untuk itu diperlukan upaya-upaya peningkatan kemampuan.
Therefore, we should increase efforts in terms of increasing abilities in intelligence detections, investigation, crime scene investigation, including provisions of tools for law enforcers and IT support, coordination with partner countries in sharing information and capacity building, coordination among investigators, prosecutors and judiciary, witness protections, victims and officers, as well as to increase the ability of counter-terror officers so that they are able to operate in all fields, including forest and mountain.
In addition to that, the National Counter-Terrorism Agency will also conduct soft measures with regards to counter-radicalism. According to Tito Karnavian, such efforts will be imposed to convicts, families of convicts, and ex-convicts. Tito said that the agency will also conduct media management to detect the communications among terrorists and the spread of radical ideology. The Indonesian Counter-Terrorism Agency BNPT plans to install licensed officers in countries allegedly related to radical and terrorist activities in Indonesia. It was stated by the agency head Tito Karnavian in a meeting with the Commission 3 of the House of Representatives DPR on Thursday in Jakarta. According to Tito Karnavian, liaison officers are needed to improve coordination to prevent the entry of radical and violent ideologies to Indonesia.
Untuk itu diperlukan upaya-upaya peningkatan kemampuan.
Therefore, we should increase efforts in terms of increasing abilities in intelligence detections, investigation, crime scene investigation, including provisions of tools for law enforcers and IT support, coordination with partner countries in sharing information and capacity building, coordination among investigators, prosecutors and judiciary, witness protections, victims and officers, as well as to increase the ability of counter-terror officers so that they are able to operate in all fields, including forest and mountain.
The head of Indonesian Counter-Terrorism Agency, Tito Karnavian, said further, Indonesia intensifies cooperation with other countries in counter-terrorism and the spread of radical and violent activities. The cooperation includes the information exchange and the capacity building of law enforcers. Indonesian Foreign Ministry calls on entrepreneurs to use the Indonesian representatives abroad to develop business and market products. Chief Executive for Investment of the Working Group of Economic Diplomacy, Ambassador Nur Syahrir Raharjo, explained that last year, the Foreign Ministry formed a Working Group of Economic Diplomacy, which has a mission to support the achievement of national economic development targets. In a press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, he said the targets is increase the value of exports amounting to 11%, tourist arrivals to Indonesia up to 20 million people in 2019, and investment by 15%. Therefore, he asked the entrepreneurs to take advantage of working group in promoting economic diplomacy and get guidance on which countries will be addressed.
Indonesian government has 133 representatives abroad. We call on the entrepreneurs in regions to utilize our representation abroad as sales and marketer. Until now for this year, 22 local entrepreneurs have contacted us for marketing their products abroad.
Ambassador Nur Syahrir Raharjo further explained, this year the working group helps the implementations of the Trade Expo Indonesia or TEI, which will be held on October 14 to 18, 2016 in GXPO Kemayoran, Jakarta. The Working Group of Economic Diplomacy will facilitate, support, and disseminate the Trade Expo Indonesia to the representatives overseas. In addition, the working group will also help the Ministry of Tourism to promote tourism. Working Group of Economic Diplomacy is headed by the Deputy Foreign Minister and consists of 4 ambassadors. The Working Group of Economic Diplomacy promotes the Indonesian investment and trade in coordination with the Ministry of Tourism, Ministry of Trade and Investment Coordinating Board. The last item, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said Indonesian citizens expected to be infected by Zika virus in Taiwan is now gradually recovering. In a press briefing held on Tuesday, June 16 at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta, Armanata said the allegation is because the symptoms of Zika virus is similar to that of dengue fever. Armanata assured that currently the conditions of the Indonesian migrant worker is getting better. Based on a report from Taiwan-based news agency CNA, the 22-year-old Indonesian migrant worker is from Mojokerto, East Java. He was ill on board of a plane that took him to Taiwan. Upon arriving at Koh Siung International Airport, he felt he had a fever and red eyes. Taiwan Center for Disease Control later confirmed that he was infected by Zika virus on June 5th. Listener, that was the news of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, listener. Here is commentary for today entitled Trump's Proposal to ban Muslims entering to the United States. The general election in the United States to take place next November has been increasingly attracting attention. Almost certainly, the two candidates, Donald Trump from Republican Party and Hillary Clinton from Democratic Party, will compete to win the hearts of Americans in the election later. As a large country, which has a strong influence in the political arena and global economic development, a number of issues that arise in the primary election attract people's attention. A lot of opinions and comments that had emerged during the campaign became hot discussion in many countries. One of them is that President Barack Obama commented on the proposals of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. President Barack Obama on Tuesday condemned Donald Trump on his proposal to ban Muslim citizens entering U.S. territory. President Obama fears that Trump's proposal will betray the legacy of pluralism, race, ethnicity, and religion in America, and it is not the Americans' wish. During his recent campaign, Donald Trump has repeatedly stated his proposal that he would like to prevent Muslims who were born overseas coming into the United States in a bid to avoid the possibility of a terrorist attack. Trump also criticized that policies of President Barack Obama that he thought might have triggered influence on the raid of the gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida on Sunday morning, which killed 49 people and injured 53 others. As reported, the attack was carried out by a Muslim American. The competent authorities suspect that the action was encouraged by jihadist propaganda on the internet. In connection with Trump's proposal to ban Muslims coming into the United States, Indonesia has to understand well that the opinion of President Barack Obama is quite acceptable. Not because Indonesia is a country with a majority Muslim population, but generalizing prejudice to the Muslim is not appropriately worth appreciating. Being vigilant is necessary, and watching the movement of people suspected of being affiliated with radicalism is also important. But banning all Muslims from anywhere with any background coming into one country is not appropriate at all. For the United States, as President Barack Obama said, such an action would violate the trust that has been existing since a long time in the USA about the openness and the rule of law. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with June 17, 1959, where Abdul Muiz is a well-known Indonesian writer and journalist died. During the Dutch colonial time, he studied in Stovia, now the Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia, Jakarta, although not Finnish. During his life, Abdul Muiz had become a journalist in Bandung, among others, with a Dutch newspaper, Priang Rebade, and Haji Agus Salim's magazine Neraca. He was the chief editor of Kaum Muda newspaper before establishing Kaum Kita in 1924. Upon independence, Abdul Muiz helped establish the United Struggle of Priangan. His literary work, entitled Salah Asuhan, is a masterpiece which made Abdul Muiz become very famous. In Indonesian literature, Abdul Muiz is categorized as the Balai Mustaka group. Abdul Muiz was confirmed as a national hero by the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, on August 30, 1959. We'll continue to another historical event on 1972 where Watergate scandals, five White House operatives are arrested for burgling the office of Democratic National Committee in an attempt by some members of the Republican Party to illegally wiretap the opposition. The Watergate scandal was a major political scandal that occurred in the United States in 1970s as a result of the June 17, 1972 break-in at the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate office complex in Washington, D.C., and the Nixon administration's attempted cover-up of its involvement. When the conspiracy was discovered and investigated by the U.S. Congress, the Nixon administration's resistance to its probes led to a constitutional crisis. The term Watergate has come to encompass an array of clandestine and often illegal activities undertaken by members of the Nixon administration. The scandal led to the discovery of multiple abuses of power by the Nixon administration, article of impeachment, and the resignation of Richard Nixon, the President of the United States, on August 9, 1974. The only resignation of a U.S. president to date. We end today in history with an event that happens in 1944, where Iceland declares independence from Denmark and becomes a republic. A Danish-Icelandic Act of Union, an agreement with Denmark signed on December 1, 1918 and valid for 25 years, recognized Iceland as a fully sovereign state in a personal union with Denmark. The government of Iceland established an embassy in Copenhagen and requested that Denmark handle Icelandic foreign policy. Danish embassies around the world displayed two coats of arms and two flags, those of the kingdoms of Denmark and those of the kingdoms of Iceland. After the agreement expired, Iceland formally became a republic on June 17, 1944, where Sveinn Björnsson as its first president. Iceland is known for hosting a summit in Reykjavik in 1986 between United States President Ronald Reagan and Soviet Premier Mikhail Gorbachev, during which they took significant steps towards nuclear disarmament. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. This time the topic is Government Council 3,143 Bylaw. The Government Council over 3,000 problematic bylaws or regional regulation considered impeding national capacity, hampering the speed to win the competition, and contrary to the spirit of unity and diversity. The cancellation of the troubled bylaws has long planned by the central government. It is part of the plan of President Joko Widodo to remove inhibiting investment in areas that will determine the ranking of the ease of business in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo during a press conference at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday, June 13, 2016, said there are four criteria that cause a bylaw or regulation is cancelled, namely those that hampers regional economic growth and prolong the red tape, then those that hinder the process of licensing and investment, the third is the bylaws that inhibit the ease of doing business, and the fourth is bylaws considered as opposed to any higher existing legislation. President Joko Widodo emphasized that the cancellation is to make Indonesia a great nation, tolerant and competitive. According to the president, as a pluralistic nation, Indonesians also have to strengthen themselves with the spirit of tolerance with uniting diversity. Meanwhile, Minister of the Interior Cahyo Kumolo, escorted by Koran Tempo, said the cancelled bylaws impeded investment and regional economic growth. He pointed out that if somebody wants to open business in the region, no need to get a principal permit, a business license, nor a building permit, but just one business permit. Cahyo Kumolo said the bylaws cancelled included those concerning unnecessary retributions, including permits that still use old Dutch colonial system. He added that the government will continue to check bylaws which are problematic or potentially problematic. He asserted regulations that have been cancelled should not be revived. Cahyo Kumolo said the cancellation of these bylaws is not the last. In the future, his ministry would conduct a similar policy. He pointed out there are approximately 9,000 local regulations governing investment and the smooth administration which concerns economic growth. Of this, there are 6,000 rated as problematic. Therefore, the elimination of over 3,000 bylaws announced by President Joko Widodo suddenly is not the last, but a new beginning. In addition to economic issues, Cahyo Kumolo also planned to remove bylaws relating to administrative document costs charged to the public. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with news in brief. I'm Dini Nugraha. Spokesman of the Indonesian Foreign Ministry Armanata Nasir said that the 10 countries of associations of Southeast Asian nations of ASEAN had always been united in facing South China Sea issue. ASEAN-China Foreign Ministers meeting with Chinese Ministers of Foreign Affairs will be held in Kunming, China this week. Amnesty International has asked Indonesia to allow dozens of Tamils from Sri Lanka who are stranded in the waters of Aceh Province to land and meet with the UNHCR officials on Indonesian soil. Head of the National Counterterrorism Agency, BNPT, Tito Karnavian, said the challenge of terrorism and pro-violence radicalism still occurs in Indonesia. The Indonesian Counterterrorism Agency, BNPT, plans to install liaisons officers in countries allegedly related to radical and terrorist activities in Indonesia. Indonesian Foreign Ministry calls on entrepreneurs to use the Indonesian representatives abroad to develop business and to market products. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanata Nasir said Indonesian citizens suspected to be infected by Zika virus in Taiwan is now gradually recovering. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. I'm Dini Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to religious traveling to Bali Island. Stay tuned. listener, Ramadan has arrived. It's time for us to do a religious tourism. As the country with the largest Muslim population, Indonesia would be the right destination for religious tourism, and there are many religious tourism destinations that you can visit. One of them is Bugis Village, which is located in the village of Serangan, Bali. This village is one of the Muslim area in Denpasar, Bali. Not only known as one of the centers of Muslim culture, Serangan village also has a variety of the Islamic history. The region that has more than 100 heads of families presents some historic sites and relics related to the inclusion of Islamic civilizations in the 17th century to Serangan Bali, such as Ashuhada Mosque, Al-Quran ancient tomb complex, and Bugis traditional house. Indonesian Wonder this time invites you to know more closely one of the Islamic civilization site in Kampung Bugis, namely Masjid Ashuhada. Ashuhada Mosque is the oldest mosque in Serangan village. The construction of the mosque was initiated by Sheikh Haji Mu'min. According to the local story, the construction of the mosque was a form of a gift by King of Badung to Sai Haji Mu'min, whose success to help him to win the war at the time of the ancient war. Overall, the mosque building area covers 4 hectares and faced to the east and surrounded by walls. Listener, Ashuhada Mosque building consisted of foyer, main hall, and ablutions place. The porch of the mosque is located at the front of the main room. In the foyer, there is a row of 4 of the pole that serves as a buffer roof. The porch serves also as a place of worship and a place to pray and other social activities places. The left side of the foyer is a building for ablutions and to put the drum. The ablutions is located in the north of the room, while the drum in the south. Listener, in the main room of the mosque, it stands 4 columns of pillar. Mihrab in the mosque is located in the west wall. To enter the sanctuary, it made through an open door. The main roof of the room consisted of 2 levels. The first level is made of a pyramid-shaped roof, while the second level and a dome-shaped top ulang and a dome-shaped top of the pole is decorated with a star rating. The pulpit contained in the main chamber sharp chairs. The stub of pulpit is also found in the mak and namely Dampar Kencana. The pulpit is divided into 3 parts: basic part, sitting room, and the roof. The rise to the pulpit used stairs with 3 rungs completed with poles on the right and left sides. The ends of the poles are connected with niche decorated with foliage motifs and calligraphy, which reads La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, a recognition of the oneness of God and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. The pulpit dome roof supported by niche with decorative leaves. Ashuhada Mosque is located in the Bugis village, Serangan village. The village is located in Serangan Island, approximately 10 km south of Denpasar, the capital of Bali province. To reach the Serangan village, you must crossing by using small boats or jukung. The mosque is in the middle of the residential population. my listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Ashuhada Mosque. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa, I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Indonesia is known as the agrarian country because most of Indonesian people are farmers. Agriculture in Indonesia has known several kinds of artificial fertilizer, pesticides, and high-quality seeds since 1969. As a result, Indonesia has undergone increasing productivity until it reached self-sufficient on food in 1986 and received an award from Food and Agriculture Organization FAO from the United Nations. But the continuous usage of synthetic pesticides will harm the ecosystem balance and contaminate the environment until it will have a negative impact on agriculture production. Therefore, in today's edition of Miscellany, we'll inform you about pesticide of natural material from cigarette industry waste. Listener, more recently, it has been realized that the usage of synthetic pesticide is like a dilemma. Under the big benefit to increase agriculture production, in fact, pesticides have hidden harms and horrible dangers for human beings. The negative impacts are causing environment pollution, intoxication, which are fatal to trigger cancer, disability, and many other diseases. Realizing the danger, a group of students of Indonesian Islamic University in Yogyakarta, Indrasti Dwi Pujilestari Cahyati, Rizky and Marlina from Chemistry Study Program created an environmentally friendly natural pesticide from cigarette waste such as the leaf and tobacco shaft. The innovation has been through an intensive research to gain benefit from the waste in order to help the chili farmers in overcoming the pest. The pests are considered as the huge danger for chili farmers because of its destructive effect. According to Dwi Pujilestari, the leaf and shaft extract contains high nicotine alkaloid. This substance is similar with neurotoxin that can paralyze insects. This environmentally friendly and natural pesticide works by interrupting insects' nerve system. And the residue can travel easily in the nature, so it will not affect the environment. To extract the substance, it takes several processes. First, the tobacco waste is ground and soak in a methanol solvent. Then the extract is strained to get the raw extract. The extract is then processed again until it results in alkaloid compound that is ready to use as pesticide solvent. even it proves to be effective to eliminate the chili pest, the students still need further research to know more the combination of the solvent to extract tobacco waste that most effective as the natural pesticide. Besides, the students are still developing way to make natural pesticide to be applied by the chili farmers. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Pesticide of Natural Material from Cigarette Industry Waste. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again in the next edition of Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Nuka, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern. Today's edition will present to you Siti Badriah, a well-known Indonesian female dangdut singer. To begin our program, here is a song entitled Terong Dicabein by Siti Badriah.
Memang manis.
Listener, in 2014, the Indonesian dangdut world became more lively with the presence of Siti Badriah, a brand new talent in dangdut music genre. She was known widely when she released her first album entitled Satu Sama. There were 16 songs in the albums, and one of the songs entitled Barabere became a hit and brought Siti Badriah's name as one of the rising stars in the Indonesian dangdut industry. Listener, before we go any further, let's listen to another song by Siti Badriah.
Apakah aku telah melanggar hukum?
Listener, let's talk a little bit about Siti Badriah. She was born on November 11, 1991. Along with other fellow dangdut singer, Siti Badriah brings back dangdut music genre to its glorious position in Indonesian music industry. Siti Badriah released her second album in 2015 with a hit song entitled Suamiku Kawin Lagi to show her consistency in Indonesia's dangdut world. But listener, to wrap up our today's music corner, let's listen to two songs by Siti Badriah entitled Tobat Maksiat and Mama Minta Pulsa. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, enjoy the songs and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Cuma
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.